and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestling Art with Chris Things.
Do the hammer lock.
Everybody's doing it. Hello. Hello, pals. Welcome to Wrestling Art with Chris Things. I am Chris Things Brian, your host, your pal, your wrestling art guide, your general wrestling, eclectic weird wrestling guide sometimes, I guess. That's what happens with the match of the week version of the podcast that I do here. So this whole deal is you know, as an artist and as a long-time wrestling fan, I watch a lot of wrestling. I watch a lot of weird wrestling. So at some point, I decided, upon encouragement by my much cherished partner, Kaylin, might I say, that I should start this thing where every week I'll pick a favorite match and then I'll draw that match and then I'll post it. And that's been a really fun thing, and it's kind of grown over the time and years now that I've been doing it. That's weird. And somewhere along the way, I decided to start doing a podcast in conjunction to it, so I could expand upon the captions that I put together. You know, summarizing my thoughts on the match, and get to have a chat about said match with some of my dearest pals from all over the world. Talking about the match, talking sometimes a little bit about the art, the illustration in question, and yeah, I quite enjoy it. It's a nice little thing to do. This week, we're going to be having returning guest Bill Schneider on the show to talk about a match that he booked. Yes, this is a guy who is responsible for putting this match into the world, putting this match together. That as we discuss in the podcast, I'm not quite sure would have happened otherwise. Oh, the tremendous match from the first ever Action Wrestling Dean show. Really a show that started a lot of interesting things. It was very influential in hindsight. That gave a lot of dudes a real boost and got people on everyone's radar. You know, especially the dudes who we're talking about today, that being Mad Dog Connolly versus Damus in a tremendous, tremendous dog collar match. I adored this match. I cannot wait to you know, get into it, to chat with Phil all about this. I'm intrigued to hear his, you know, his side of things, a little bit of a peek behind the curtain, perhaps. We'll see how we go with that. But if you haven't already, highly recommend you check out that tremendous Mad Dog versus Damus match. If you do not have a IWTV subscription, which I recommend you do, there's a lot of really great stuff on there. But if you don't, you can just jump on the Action Wrestling YouTube channel and you can watch the match on there. And my gosh, I think you will... I think you'll thank me if you do. But if you do, then you'll be on the inside of this this chat. You'll be all prepped. You'll have done your homework, and you can be there listening along as Phil and I chat all about it in a couple of minutes. But before we get to that, we've got our little old what's going on in the world of Chris Things intro segment here. As I mentioned last week, I've been kind of losing my mind a little bit with all the group shows and expos and different events and things that I've been doing. Last week, I did three paintings in preparation for the Solstice show. Yeah, I'm kind of losing it, guys. The really, really great Solstice exhibition. Put on by Converge Brisbane at the Super Ordinary in Hamilton. That was such a cool time. It was a bit more of a darker, culty kind of a vibe. So I did something a little bit different. I did a collection of works that were a bit kind of like culty bondage dark ritual kind of like vibes was the unifying theme of my offering. And it was a really fun little challenge to do something a little bit different. So I really enjoyed that. Like I said, kind of lost my mind in doing three paintings in 1 week, in addition to all the other things that I try to do, all those other plates I keep trying to keep on spinning as a you know, full-time art dude. This job's not for everybody, but, you know, I'm trying to just keep on keeping on, you know. Before that, you know, I had that other expo, Tremendous Weirdo Art Show, which I'm so grateful to be a part of. And then next, this Saturday, in fact, I've got the Great Artist Market in Brisbane, in Hamilton. Wait, no, not Hamilton. It's Fallon's Brewing Co., Howard Smith Wharf's. This is going to mean nothing to most of you. No, it's a pretty big artist market, and it's one that, again, I feel very grateful to be a part of. I'd say one of the preeminent artist markets that we have up in Brisbane. So I'm super looking forward to that. The guys have been super supportive of me, you know. It was probably will be my fourth Great Artist Market. And I'm super appreciative that I keep getting approved to be, you know, have my little old art table set up at these events. But also, you know, I really appreciate the amount that they support us as artists and try to, you know, help boost our profile and all that good stuff. They actually asked me if I wanted to do a little reel, like a artist studio tour reel kind of thing that they could post on the Great Artist Market thing and on Instagram. And yeah, I was like, yeah, okay, this is something I've been meaning to do more of that kind of stuff, but sometimes you need a little push, you know. So I did that. They actually posted it this morning, and it's weird but cool. You know, I still get a bit bashful when I kind of see myself on screen for that kind of thing. Maybe that's the reason why I haven't done like more of the real kind of things. Is I look at myself talking in video form, and I'm like, yeah, you know. Somehow it's not quite the same when I'm just doing this podcast. You can't see me and then they hear me, you know. I don't know how that makes it better. But anyway, so yeah, I was very grateful for that. I'll have that. I think I have that reel on my Instagram if you want to check out Chris Things on Instagram. A little real quick tour, but hopefully I can, you know, get up the gumption of doing more of that kind of like video content stuff. I hear people dig it. Yeah, man, busy, and then as I got a wrestling club event lined up for Sunday the 6th of July, which I'm super stoked to be back at the Scratch. Oh, also, another little tidbit for you guys, this past Sunday, I did an awesome little workshop, like an artist workshop, at the Scratch. I'm so grateful that the Scratch teamed up with Greyhound Press, which is a local printing outfit, specializes in like lithography and lino card and all sorts of interesting printing techniques. But they came along and we did out of lino card our own coaster prints and printed them then on the day, and that was so much fun. I, you know, as much as I do this. This art thing as a job, there's still a lot of time when you're like, you know, it should be fun and it needs to be fun. You got to enjoy the making and everything like that, as I always say. And that was exactly that. I had such a great time just like hand carving out. I did a little Destroyer, Dick Bayer, one of my favorite master wrestlers of all time. One of my favorite wrestlers of all time. Dude's incredible. I did him on a little coaster, and I did up that print. And I think that came together pretty well. I had like a real fun energy about it because I had to do it in, you know, not the longest amount of time. But yeah, I was super stoked with it. So now the cool thing is I have that print. I printed up a whole bunch of these, which are much thanks to Chris at Greyhound Press for being so generous to let me do that. So now I'm actually going to make those available for you guys. So starting at the Great Artist Market this Saturday, I'll have some on offer. I'll look at how I can make these available for those of you online. That might be a fun thing. I'll see how I can make that work. But yeah, guys, I'm having fun. I'm enjoying making the art. I've sort of got my marbles a little bit back together from last week, and let's get into some match of the week action with Phil Schneider. All right, over to the back deck studio. Alright, ladies and gentlemen, we're back for our Match of the Week edition of the podcast. I really do enjoy getting to chop it up with my various friends around the world about some of my favourite matches that ever did happen. And today I think we've got a very relevant one. One of my favourite matches from a few weeks back was the original dog collar match from the original Dean show, Mad Dog versus Damus. Incredible stuff. And I have a man that was involved in that show, a pal of mine, the writer of the illustrious Way of the Blade books. Welcome back to the show, Phil Schneider.
Good to talk to you, Chris. Always like chatting with you, my partner in crime, my fellow,
yes,
my tag partner. The
like dead
injury to my beautiful Bobby Eaton, or vice versa.
Yeah, I'll proudly be the lover boy Dennis of this this combo. No sweet Stan.
Ah, I'm gonna go with the OGs, not the original.
My favorite.
My favorite. I don't know. I don't not the original Midnight Express. I'm not making you Randy Rose.
Love it. Well, I'm stoked to get to talk to you like more just nerding out about a match today, man. Like, obviously in our last chat we talked about all the things and about the Dean shows and putting those together, and you know, a bit about your writing. Highly recommend everyone check that out if you hadn't. I really enjoyed that chat, man. But today, just getting to nerd out about some wrestling. I'm into it.
Yeah, and a match that would came out of my brain, which is pretty cool.
Right?
The coolest thing, one of the cooler things about it is that match doesn't exist unless I come up with it. I don't imagine those two guys would have crossed paths any other way outside of us deciding to do this show and knowing I wanted to do something cool with Mad Dog, because he was one of my favorites and a guy I thought needed a higher profile. And he kicked around a ton of different ideas of what we might do with him, and then kind of, you know, I don't even know how I landed on Demas, but I was just like, you know, man, if we could get that, that would be crazy. You know, it's funny, I know, you know, I've been thinking about doing a show like this for years, and I always had in my mind, if it did a Dean show 9 years ago or 10 years ago, and I kind of wish I did, because then Dean could have come, he could have been the ringmaster of the Dean show. I always wanted to run L.A. Park versus Necro Butcher. That was always a match in my head. Is like, that would be an incredible like clash of style. And then, you know, obviously, you could still theoretically do it.
Yeah, I was gonna say you could still do that one, man.
L.A. Park is a little difficult to book, and Necro Butcher has had some very unfortunate things to say on his Facebook page, in a way that may make that match something that may only have to exist in my memory. We almost had Necro on the first Dean show, but you know, there was some hesitancy by people whether we could use him. And then when I finally got the okay for it and decided to call him up and book him, he had already had a booking that day. So, and then you know, Dean 2, we didn't use anybody that wasn't really on Dean 1 outside of AEW people. And then, you know, and then Necro, unfortunately, those concussions. A guy I had a really nice conversation with on my podcast, but his concussions have squirted his brain into true puddle mush. And I think that puts to the point where I think there's enough people who would not be interested in working on it with a guy who, you know, says some of the things he says. Who knows? But probably not going to happen. LA Park also notoriously sort of difficult to book. Might be some issues with him. And so that one doesn't happen. But this was kind of like your sort of modern day, you know, 2024 Necro Butcher versus LA Park, your crazy, insane, out of control lucha brawler versus your sort of king of the independent brawls, wild man kind of stuff. So I thought this was a good, like, you know, next gen version of that match. And I, you know, honestly, I mean, I thought it was going to be cool. I thought it was, I was hoping it, this match exceeded my very high expectations for it. I had incredibly high expectations for it when I came up with it. And then it actually happened. I was like, oh, this is even cooler and wilder and nuttier than I had imagined it was going to be when I kind of came up with it.
Oh, 100%. I mean, it exceeded my expectations too, because I didn't actually get to watch it live. But like when I did, you know, obviously there was a lot of, you know, crazy praise about this match. And a lot of the time you hear that about a match and then it can't possibly, you know, live up to the hype. But this, like, this did and then some, dude. And yeah, exactly what you're saying. As soon as I was watching, I was feeling like that LA Park Lucha Brawl kind of vibes, like Sangre Chicana, like that LA Park Monterey bloodbath against Hijo del Santo, like all this kind of stuff came flooding back to me. And yeah, it was just I loved how rough around the edges it was. I loved how like generally unsafe it felt right from the opening moment of Mad Dog Connolly flipping the chain and hitting Damus like in the face and nose with it. You're just like, ooh, something's happening here.
Yeah, I mean, and the fact that Matt Griffin, who's my the promoter of Action Wrestling and my partner in these, one of my partners in these DJs, he's running around in the ringside yelling at them to get back in the ring because he's worried that they're slamming into fans and breaking shit at the H2O Center. And he's it's like, it adds to the chaos because he's kind of running around. Obviously, that's not part of the story of the match, but it really was because he was running around going, oh, my, get back in the ring, get back in the ring. And they obviously just ignored him, which was really funny.
So that really added to it.
Matt is lit.
That was what gave it that like feeling like there might be lawsuits flying at any
moment. I mean, there might be. They were throwing them into fans, right? Like Tremont, we had to buy like 5 chairs from like Home Depot to replace chairs that we broke in the HOS. Also a little bit, Matt Tremont. I mean, fucking these chairs. I mean, it wasn't like they weren't perfectly beautiful chairs. All of them were semi falling apart before that happened. But we had to go to Home Depot and, you know, lost an extra $100 on this show from just buying chairs for Matt Tremont because those two guys ripped the parts of that building to shreds in a way that, you know, was really in the kind of spirit of maybe that's what they, you know, Tremont and Mad Dog are feuding now. And he just had a match at DPW. They've got another match.
Yeah, I had good things about that one.
Yeah, it's good. Jay's got a dog collar coming out in JCW. And I think in my head canon for that feud, it's Matt Tremont being pissed that Mad Dog Connolly broke a bunch of his shit in his arena. This is like, that's what Tremont's beef is. It's like, this motherfucker broke a bunch of my chairs. I'm going to kick the shit out of him.
I did want to make sure to say, I thought the venue for this, that H2O wrestling, like, I affectionately refer to it as it kind of felt like a dungeon, like a sex dungeon kind of like by watching it from the outside in.
It's like a kind
of
like
tremendous
a rural strip mall in the middle of fucking nowhere, New Jersey. It really was a piece of shit in the best way. I mean, I really liked the venue for Dean too, having it outdoors. I think that ended up being pretty cool. I was pretty worried about how it would come off before it came off, and I think it's good. But I think, you know, we were missing a little bit of the fucking staff infection of the H2O Center and the whole thing. This is just a divey like an incredible punk bar where, you know, again, had that feel to it. And that match, I think that was super the match was super helped by being there. I don't think the H2O Center exists anymore. It's not around. I think it closed.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Kind of,
which is too bad. So we can't for Dean 4, Dean 5, or Dean 7, we can't go back there. But at some point, you know, in the future, I'd love to run a show return to that vibe, because I thought that was a really cool vibe.
I think there's something magical about, you know, being someone that loved independent wrestling in the early 2000s kind of era and following companies like IWA Mid-South and, you know, seeing these a lot of the time really shitty, dilapidated community centers and, you know, whatever it is, and seeing just incredible matches in these shitholes, in the most affectionate term I can give, it really adds something to the atmosphere of it.
I went to a bunch of shows at the Rahway Rec Center for JPW.
Oh, amazing.
That place is a big pile of shit too. Again, this is very affectionate. Lee describing the Rahway Rec Center is kind of a piece of shit where it's like, oh, it's kind of dirty. It's the fucking shitty part of Jersey. You know what I mean? It's always good if you feel like, oh man, not thrilled I'm parking my car here. it's like the best barbecue restaurants. I'll always feel like you know, you're a little worried about parking your car there. The best wrestling venues, you want to feel a little bit like shit. I'm gonna leave it here for a couple hours, huh? Fuck.
Exactly.
It gets broken into, I guess.
Like the vibe of when I made it to that Zona show in the junkyard, and I generally was like, all right, there's a chance we might get kidnapped in and around this venue.
Actually, well, you know, that makes this more fun. Yeah, Divas, of course, a Zona king, right? Like, he's one of the, was he on the Zona show that you went to?
He wasn't, sadly, he wasn't on the show that I went to, but I see he's, I think he's on one of the upcoming ones. I saw plugged on their social media, and he's definitely, you know, done a lot of awesome stuff with them in the past. Now, the big one that I got to see that was like a bit of a kick was getting to see one of the headhunters in person after all of the years of seeing him on, you know, the kind of tape trader tapes and you know, these weird and wild matches of seeing the headhunters back in the day. That was pretty cool seeing one of them in person.
I've never seen the headhunters live. They I know at least one of them came to work a show, lucha show in Denver at like a granite factory, but I didn't know about it until after it already happened. I was so mad. I was like, how did I miss fucking headhunter one in a granite factory? It's a beetle. Jesus, that feels like I was just so bad when I found out that it happened like 3 weeks. I found out about it 3 weeks after it happened. I'm like, fuck! Could have gone seen Zubito and one of the headhunters like Brandon Factory? Perfect. Bunch of local fucking guys. Work as line cooks, and then also have like a luchador gimmick for the Denver lucha scene. I mean, perfect stuff.
Amazing. Yeah, one of my pals used to be a commentator in the Denver lucha scene, funnily enough. I think he was friends with the guy that ran a lot of those shows. But it's such a wild thing when you get luchadors and a whole like lucha scene in somewhere like Denver. I was always like, what the heck? How is there Lucha Libre in Denver?
There's like three or four different promotions that run pretty regularly. I've seen basically all the cool luchadors you're going to want to see live. I've seen live at Davis and Santo and Nero Casas and Blue Panther and L.A. Park. And I've saw Demas, but, you know, years before I booked him at this show, he worked a show at a bar somewhere. Mr. Iguana, I saw years before he became a viral sensation, work a fucking show at a bar in Denver, Navarro. I mean, like, pretty much almost every cool name you're going to want to see, I've seen at one of these Denver Lucha shows. So it's pretty cool. It was one of the cool things with moving. It's like, you know, not the same sort of, like living in the Northeast, like I lived for so many years. It's not like, you don't have Denver doesn't have that same kind of thing where you can go see, you know, like when I was living in, you know, in Washington, D.C. in 2003, I could have drove to an ROH show in Philly pretty easily. You're a little more out here. Although I've been to a couple of GCW shows that have been sort of fun. I gave all the tapes that I had left in sitting in boxes in my house to MLJ. Like, Emil, here you go. Get these out of my garage.
get them converted over to some DVDs. Again,
if you put them on something, eventually send me a link or something. Here you go, Emil. My wife wants these out of my house, out of our house. So I don't have a VCR or a DVD player, and haven't had one in a decade. So it's just been sitting here. Here you go. I don't know what some of these. I think. Some of these DVDs are just—they're just labeled Lucha. Who the hell knows what's on them? But figure it out, my friend.
Some weird promo Azteca or some shit.
Yeah, who the fuck knows what it could be? I had some stuff that I, you know, eventually have to get them to transfer. I had a lot of XCW Midwest, which I used to order directly from Mitch Ryder, which I don't think anybody else has. Cool shit, though. Todd Morrison, Payton, and, you know, all those guys all on those shows.
I really love MLJ, specifically his passion for wrestling. He's a dude I follow on Instagram, and he has a lot of just takes where it's like it so lines up with my interests. Like, he was one of the other few people that was excited as me about this upcoming Goldberg match with Walter. You know, there's something about that.
I don't watch the WWE. I haven't really watched hardly any of it.
Oh, neither do I.
Since I stopped being paid to watch it. I no longer have a column I have to watch every week for the Ringer and miss the money and don't miss having one. But I think I probably will watch Goldberg. It's like, I like Goldberg too. It's not gonna be good. It's not gonna be good, but it's gonna be awesome, right? Like, why wouldn't it be awesome
because of the limitations, you know? Because of the question of like how limited is Goldberg? Let's see old man Goldberg just do what he possibly can. Like, there's so many questions in my mind.
Yeah, is it going to be, you know, it's not going to have as many near falls as your best matches on the All In show will have, but, you know, whatever. It'll always need a bunch of near falls. It's like, this match we're talking about didn't have a lot of near falls either. It was how long, probably 8.5 longer than like that. And, you know, they just killed each other until some guy was no longer there. I think that was what Matt told them. Like, try not to keep this too long, and, you know, just go out there, and then, you know, Mad Dog goes over. That was the gist of guidance he gave them before the show, and they just went out there and had
tremendous, you
know, a corker. Man, Mad Dog's he's been really really killing it since this, and killing it before. I got somebody. You know, we got him, you know, got him in the main event of Dean 2. I thought he did great there. We got, you know, Dean 3 coming up. We've got some plans for Mad Dog Connolly.
He's kind of in some ways become like the face of the brand, right? That's kind of fascinating for a guy that, you know, before this was not on that many people's radar.
Yeah, I mean, he was on mine. He was somebody that I don't like. He was somebody that I kind of champion relatively early, and put some stuff up for the Ringer before I think anybody really knew who he was. So he's kind of, and on that note, I mean, we have Demas is coming to Dean 3.
Yes,
he was not on Dean 2 because, you know, that kind of came together pretty fast after being very slow. It was one of those things where we were like on hold. For the call for months and months and months, and then all of a sudden it like was like we went from 0 to 60 to putting the show together very fast. And at that time, Demas has a very, very successful sideline working as a touring midget wrestler at touring midget shows. That's most of what he does. He works like Desidero garbage match lucha, and then works like these, you know, probably this week he's probably in, you know, Milwaukee working with a bunch of other midgets and like at a bar or somewhere. Like, so he's got this one of the weirder careers in wrestling. I think those midget shows play really well too. I think he probably is very successful doing them. Obviously had many years as a sort of a Masquerita Sagrada opponent before he became this
fridge
troll chewing on people's forehead.
He's one of the most talented minis that I've ever seen in terms of getting maximum amount of rotations on the head scissors with the Masquerita Sagrada.
Right, and then also amazing at taking a beer bottle and jabbing into somebody's skull. Find you a guy who can do both, right? Like, and so so we couldn't get him for Dean 2 because he was hit him up when we had a date. He was like, yeah, I'm booked already. I'm like, all right, well, fuck. We got this thing in ECW Arena. So he is booked on Dean 3. He is coming to Dean Philadelphia at the ECW Arena in September. Demas will be there. Mad Dog Connolly will be there. You know, you're all your Dean faves. Coven, you know, Adam Priest. All those guys, and then, you know, we get
I'm hoping Slim J make it. Yeah,
Slim
J.
Sure, Slim J will be there. I mean, we're all gonna get all the guys. You know, barring injury or barring something coming up, but you know, we should have all of the Dean guys who worked on Dean 2 should be there. Some other people who were hoping who were on the first show, and then some people weren't on the show, and we're gonna, you know, bring in some other indie wrestlers from other things, and then some weird surprises, and then hopefully we're gonna get some cool AEW participation on this one too. It's gonna be sort of it's gonna be basically replacing an ROH TV taping at the ECW arena. So we're gonna have, we'll have everybody be backstage, hopefully, whoever I can, you know, convince to come out and fight. I'll convince to come out and fight. Hopefully Tom Lawler's back will be healed up, hip will be healed up by then, and he can come out. So it's gonna be cool. I got some good ideas. Still a ways away. I'm really waiting until All In is over to start talking to the AEW folks and having them worry about this show. So we have some ideas, some stuff planned and lined up, and then other stuff we'll sort of see how it goes. Awesome. But one of the cool things about Dean too is that, you know, Chris Hero ended up, it was like a great, you know, you were talking about you're being a 2000 Indies fan. He reached out to us and was like, hey, do you guys want, I'm excited about this, do you want my help with this? And he basically did the production stuff backstage. So he was calling out cues, and he went through all the time things and handled all the, so he was basically agenting the show.
Which
I don't know if everybody knows. So yeah, I mean, you know, and then obviously Brian Danielson, we know, was on the show, came out, made his first, is now Brian Danielson's new gimmick of only appearing on television on ROH television shows at weird venues after Blue Panther matches.
That's his new gimmick. As long as Blue Panther's involved, follow him around.
He's going to come out. So that came together pretty cool. We didn't necessarily, Tony had mentioned that Brian might want to do something, but I didn't really know that was going to happen until the day of the show. But he was so amped about that, and he just, you know, you could tell he was just so into the Cibernetico, so into Mad Dog, really excited about that. So that was super fun. At one point, I was backstage in the sort of area that they'd set up where Khan was super involved in this. Like, you wouldn't necessarily think he would be, but he was doing like the Vince stuff backstage with the headphones on, giving like the Dylan and Moe's like commentary cues and stuff like that. So he was like, sick. He was in it. There's one point where backstage in this little area was like a it's a curtained off part where Tony was there, and it was me, Chris Hero, Brian Danielson, Dustin Rhodes, Tony Khan, and Hiroshi Tanahashi, all backstage watching this thing. I was looking around, I was like, what is going on in my life? Like, what are we doing? Wrestling Hall of Fame is back here watching the show. Like, Dustin came out and did something with the crowd before the show happened. Like, just talked about it a little bit about what people are going to be excited with, and watched the whole show backstage. And Dustin was there the whole time. Tanahashi and the other New Japan office guys were there the whole time watching it. Tanahashi was super into the Mad Dog match. So it's pretty, I mean, it's a wild, wild scene for sure.
What a world. What a world to live in, man.
Yeah, seriously.
I really am excited about the ECW arena side of things. Like, obviously that's another venue as well where, used to be such a well celebrated, beautiful shithole. It's since had a bunch of renovations, and, you know, it's still the same floor, still the same walls. So I think it's still got the same history about it. But it definitely has had a facelift. So it's not quite as much of a piece of shit as it much used to be. But I think it'll still have a really cool atmosphere, man. I'm excited.
I mean, having a crazy Mad Dog match in the ECW arena feels like appropriate, right? Like, this match could have worked in the ECW arena. I think, I mean, although maybe it's almost too intimate for the ECW, I mean, we'll see. Oh, what if we do that? How this translates to a place that's a little bigger, but it's not that big. ECW arena doesn't hold more than 1,000 people, I don't think. So it's not like we're not trying to do a Mad Dog match in a basketball game or anything like that. Although I think he would do fine in that. I think he's talented enough that you could put him in a bunch of different places and you could do cool stuff at them. But I think he is a guy that in many ways is built for this kind of beer on the floor, back room kind of stuff, and really makes it, where every single person in that arena is going to feel the whoosh of that chain swinging by their head and not 100%
spray of blood.
That spraying blood. At one point, I think I just yelled out, "What have I done?" Or screamed right in the middle of this match. What have I done? I just yelled and put my hands up as these guys are just absolutely obliterating each other. You know, it's such a cool thing. And, you know, it's like both those guys, you know, there's no reason that they shouldn't be, you know, the two of the top guys in independent wrestling. And I'm still
100%
flabbergasted that they're not. Like, I don't understand why nobody's run this rematch.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get these guys. Anybody wants to, you know, it's like, you know, and nobody, why Mad Dog isn't on every GCW show, right? Like, and where Demas isn't on every GCW show, like, you know, or Mad Dog isn't. I mean, he's worked a couple ICW No Holds, he's like over like one ICW No Holds Barred show. And it's like, he should be there. He should be the main eventing every ICW No Holds Barred show. So he's done. I mean, I think it's kind of cool. The Deadlock and like the Prestige West Coast Pro guys have started to use him more. I think people are starting to do that. But I was shocked that this match didn't immediately. I guess it did though. It got him booked in Germany for WXW, and it got him, you know, into the Scenic City Invitational. So it did get open some doors. But I was surprised that it didn't blow open all the doors.
There always seems to be a bit of a delay with these things from when the stuff happens to then it's sort of like, all right, on a 6 months delay, that's when, you know, the pub kind of keeps moving if there's more stuff happening. But yeah, Connolly, like, there's something magical about him where you're right. It's like he works so well in that intimate kind of environment, but also I'd see him fitting in exactly, it's absolutely perfectly in working in a stadium against Carlos Colon in the 80s, yeah. You know?
I mean, when I got into him as a wrestler, was working those Paradigm Pro wrestling UWFI rules matches. So I thought, I mean, that those things were. Did we talk about those last time?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, those were hugely variance in quality. Like, some of those matches were terrible. And you could just tell, like, these are a couple guys doing shoots on wrestling. May have never watched Shoot Their Wrestling or never been in a karate dojo in their life, but the Connolly ones was like, oh, okay, I could actually totally see him working Yoji Anjo in 1990 as like one of the guys that they brought in, you know, or like one of the, you know, he comes in on the same flight as Dusel Berto and Jumbo Barrett on a PWFG show, or as a guy. I mean, he worked amazing in Futen. If you stuck him in against like Cena or any of those guys, would be fit in like a glove and never with a chain. Like, he wouldn't bring the chain on the flight with him, and he wouldn't need that, right? Like, he could just be a guy that could just go there and go, all right, you're fighting Takeshi Oda. It's four and a half minutes long, and it's going to be the fucking coolest thing anybody's seen in the last year.
I really dig this match specifically. The whole thing, like, it didn't go that long, but it had such a high intensity all the way through, and it felt so organic all the way through. And I think that's what I mean, like, when I say kind of the dirty, rough around the edges, it kind of felt a lot more reactive and a lot more just like, you know, it wasn't like, you know, things were so tightly choreographed. Like we see a lot of the time in a lot of.
Oh, I don't think they choreographed any of this. I don't think these guys talked 2 minutes before this match happened. I think they went out there. Demas's English is, you know, pretty decent, but not amazing. And Mad Dog's a quiet guy. And I just imagine that those guys just, all right, let's chain on your neck, chain on my neck, let's fight. I don't think any of it was choreographed. I definitely didn't see them working out spots before. Some people were in the ring working stuff together. Those guys weren't in the ring working anything together. Demas was drinking beer. I don't know where Mad Dog was. I think they just went out there and went after it, and they had a finish in mind. And I think that, you know, I've talked to Mad Dog about it, and he's like, yeah, that guy's hard to wrangle. I think that's what it was. Those are a pair of guys that are hard to wrangle. So it's not, no point was, I don't think any point was like, yeah, I'm going to get the heat for a couple minutes and this is going to be our transition. No! He's fought! He's trying to, hey, we're going to fight and then and we'll end it. And I think there are matches where there are Mad Dog matches where he works stuff out. I think him and Priest work more stuff out than that. But I do like him. I do enjoy a here's a couple dudes call it in the ring. You know what I mean? And the way they called it in the ring was they just fought until it was over.
Yeah. Yeah, it was all the better for it.
I've got an article coming out this week or next week. I'm not exactly sure when it's written, but I'm not sure when it's going to be published for Yahoo about Gypsy Joe. And
amazing.
So I got talked to a bunch of people and got a bunch of Gypsy Joe stories. Got a great story from Tank. Talked to Taz about his match of Gypsy Joe and Wing. And one of the things he mentioned there was that Taz story, you'll read it in the article, but the Taz story is basically he came to Japan and, you know, was on his first Japanese match. It was Corican Hall for Wing against Gypsy Joe. And he did not know who Gypsy Joe was. Met him the day before and thought he was just maybe like an old retired guy or a fan, right? I mean, and didn't understand. And then he asked Kevin Sullivan, he goes, "Who is this Gypsy Joe guy that I'm listed with?" He's like, "That guy over there." And he goes, "That old guy?" And Taz was like, "Yeah." You know, Kevin Sullivan's like, "Yeah, Taz, you got to be really careful with him, man. He's pretty fragile. And you got to just take care of him out there. He's an old guy. People love him. You know, you got to be very gentle with him. And, you know, try to do the best you can. You don't hurt this guy." I was like, "Oh, yeah." So I was, you know, really concerned about going to hurt him. And then I walk in and he fucking punches me in the face as hard as I can. And I thought I was a little fight out there. I didn't know. I was trying to hit this guy with duplexes with the head with chairs and nothing. Nothing would faze him, and he kept beating the shit out of me. And I thought when we went backstage, we would fight some more. So like they fucked with Taz, and like so he talked about the one thing he talked about in the match. Joe was like, "Yeah, you know, I will just go out there and call it out there." And Taz thought he meant well. Just I can't even. He seemed like he was too tired to even talk about what the match was about. And so it just feels like they kind of just this was. It felt like in a different way that this was like that. Where I'm sure these guys didn't. Run through a bunch of things. Fuck. Hand around your neck.
Oh, yeah. Very much the spiritual successor to a Gypsy Joe, I would think, is Mad Dog Connolly.
Yeah. I mean, we did the Gypsy Joe Rules match on Dean 1.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing, I think what we're going to try to do is the Gypsy Joe Invitational at the ECW Arena, where it's like we're the Coven's just going to call out every cockeyed, cross-eyed, tough guy in Philadelphia to come and fight him in the arena. No rules. Yes. And so I think that, you know, so in some ways, because I think you probably know, Gypsy Joe is the grand uncle of Reverend Dan Wilson. He's part of
him. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so this is why, one of the reasons that we do, that he's part of, at least in Dean lore, part of the Dean thing is, you know, Reverend Dan's his nephew, and you know, and so that's what a lot of it, what the Coven is kind of, he's the sort of, you know, just spiritual leader of the Coven of the Goat is Gypsy Joe. So we're going to do some Gypsy Joe shit at the ECW Arena, and kind of do the, you know, just all see whatever lunatics want to come fight Philly.
Tremendous. Yeah, I think, yeah, for a lot of people out there who might only know Gypsy Joe's name from the New Jack thing, definitely a super interesting dude to go back and watch some of his stuff. Like, I was actually reading up recently about his cage stuff in IWE, in the early...
Yeah, first guy to ever die off the top of a cage.
Wild.
The album in this article, I don't really talk about the New Jack thing very much. That is how people know him, and it's not particularly interesting, and not like what made this guy so cool. What made this guy so cool is he was this like, you know, like tall tale that people would tell in the arenas in the South, where it'd be like this legend that people would talk about, like, "Oh man, Gypsy Joe." Every story about him was like something you hear about Paul Bunyan or something like that. this crazy. I'm
so excited for this article, man.
Yeah. But yeah, so that was what the in some ways this kind of reminded me. It's like, oh, I imagine this was called in the same way that Gypsy Joe would call. Yeah, we'll just go out there. Let's go out there. And I think, you know, one of the problems of a lot of modern wrestling is kind of everything does feel a little too you know, like they sat there and wrote out every spot they wanted to do, and you know, everything's like, oh, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, reversal. And you know, it's like, and sometimes you just want it to don't feel like that. I don't want to feel like those guys.
Yeah. Really,
you know, I want it to feel like a bar fight, not a ice dancing routine.
Yeah, yeah. I find that fascinating, like, because, you know, I definitely there's some of that really tightly choreographed, like, you know, Dragon Gate style stuff where it's just like insane, you know, how densely, you know, like laid out this thing can be. And it's just amazing to watch in its own right. But there's so much stuff today where I just feel, you know, it's a bit just too polished for my liking a lot of the time, especially coming back to my fandom of a lot of older stuff and Memphis Brawls and that kind of thing that was so a complete different flavor. And this, in the best of ways, reminded me of that kind of stuff and really renewed my faith in current American professional wrestling in that manner. So I adored it, man.
Good, good. I'm glad. I mean, I'm really... I mean, I've done a lot of goofy stuff in my life. The Dean Joes. I mean, that's like the apogee of all of this, right? Our books, the writing from different places, but the fact that we got to created this thing in a way that just like I said, I didn't come up with this match doesn't ever happen. I mean, this isn't something like these aren't guys that,
yeah, bringing something in the world that otherwise definitely wouldn't be there. Like, that's an amazing thing to have some contribution to.
Yeah, like I think eventually Mad Dog Connolly and Adam Priest would have hooked up in a dog collar match somewhere, right? But Demas, it's not like I said, they're not going to wrestle on one of these fucking touring midget shows. Mad Dog's probably not going to make it to the junkyard. Maybe he should. Maybe one of my next goals is to get him to the junkyard, but it doesn't happen otherwise. So I feel like I got to look cool to have a little part in something, creating something truly unique. Like, for example, Way of the Blade : AEW edition, which will be available, Whoa. Which is available now for pre-order. And I think people should start as they hear this, I imagine the first group of people will start to have gotten the book. Because I think they have been started to be sent out.
Oh, what an exciting time. I'm so enthused to see people sending through those pictures of having the actual book in their hands.
It's always fun. I remember
last time round, that was so exciting to see. So very pumped again.
Yeah, and then, you know, we're going to keep, like I said, we're going to keep doing stuff together. The tag team's not broken up, for sure.
Heck yeah, man.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else I need to plug. Keep an eye open on Yahoo over the next week or so for my Gypsy Joe article. Keep an eye open on social media for the announcements of a date for Dean 3, September in the ECW Arena. And, you know, I don't know, I'll probably do some other stuff. I'll probably write some more books. I'll probably write some more articles. We're going to have an excerpt of the book on Yahoo for Yahoo Sports next week, too.
Yeah,
fantastic. I don't know if I can do that yet, but they're going to run an excerpt for our book, which is pretty cool. But yeah, you know, I got some things in the hopper. What do you got? You got some things in the hopper? You got any art exhibitions? No, I've started hosting your show. I don't know why I started doing that.
I've been definitely pretty busy myself with a bunch of different art exhibitions and different kind of things going on. We've got a big artist market this weekend. It's one of the biggest ones we have up here in Brisbane. So busy. But yeah, dude, I'm very excited to get cracking into the actual, you know, next Way of the Blade list. I've had a bit of a peruse of what you may have sent me so far, and safe to say there's some matches that I was hoping that were going to be on that list, and I'm very happy that they are. Let's put it that way.
This match included. This will be in Way of the Blade 3, coming to a bookstore or an Amazon near you, 2026, 7, I don't know.
These things, for people at home, people playing at home, these things take a while. When you're doing a book, like from when you're actually, you know, writing the words or me doing the pictures, there's a lot of stuff that needs to be done between that initial work and when it finally gets released. So it's a game of patience in a lot of ways.
We're cooking on our part of it, though. So we'll see. 26, 27. Keep an eye open for that. Go buy the new book if you haven't bought it yet. It's cool.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are going to really enjoy the AEW edition of the book. I'm looking forward to talking about it a bit more, you know, when we have the release happening, and talking about my love and affinity for those early years, especially of AEW, and returning to, you know, on a big mainstream scale of American professional wrestling, seeing a lot more blood and bloody hatred in professional wrestling. I think it's a really cool thing, and I'm really excited to see other people maybe reminiscing a little bit about that kind of stuff too.
Yeah, for sure.
I did finally, while I still got you here, did want to tell you how much of an enjoyable experience it was to make an artwork, make an illustration of this match in question, the Damus versus Mad Dog one. With this match of the week gimmick, I do illustrate my favorite match that I happened to watch that particular week, and that was this. And yeah, man, going through that match and trying to pick the exact right moment to capture an illustrative kind of form was kind of a similar challenge as what I have with a lot of the way the Blade matches. We're trying to kind of like soak up the energy of the match in one kind of like frame can be so difficult. There was some really great visuals towards the end of the match where they're really like grappling with the chain and the blood and the true violence there. The one I ended up picking was a bit earlier on during that time when they were brawling in the crowd. And I really loved it as well because that kind of like showed off again this beautiful gritty dungeon that was the H2O Wrestling Center. And yeah, when he hurled that garbage can at him, man, that was the first moment I remember there was like an audible gasp from the crowd of just like, okay, just anything is happening right now, right? Like, it's just pure chaos.
And yeah, I sent the picture to both Mad Dog and Demus, and they both thought it was pretty sick. I got good responses from both of them. Yeah, so the Demus, I think, even posted it on his Twitter. So
I saw that. I saw it as well. Mad Dog, I think, shared it on the Instagram too. So super cool, super fun one to do. I actually did the art of that one on a train, I believe, traveling between where I live now and Brisbane. But yeah, it's always cool when you get to do stuff that's like a little bit, you know, not necessarily always in the ring, like when you kind of have a bit of a different environment to play with. But yeah, man, super awesome match. And if anyone would like to purchase a Prinsky of said art, you can do so at christhings.com.au. Squeeze a little plug in there.
Oh, I might have to do that. We'll talk off air.
I feel like I definitely I'd like to send you some stuff. I'll definitely send you a little package at some point in the future.
Incredible. Always great talking to you.
Dude, thank you so much, Phil. Again, everyone, keep an eye on Phil when it comes to Yahoo Sports. Those future articles come out. Keep an eye on that Way of the Blade Instagram channel that I'll be plugging in this. And, of course, keep following Phil on Twitter. But, yeah, exciting times ahead, my friend.
100%.
All right, thanks again, Phil, and I'll hopefully we'll get you back on the show at some point in the near future again.
Anytime.
Thank you, my friend. All right. Man, what a delightful time that was. Always a fun time talking to Phil. I'm so excited about our upcoming stuff in the future. As mentioned, the tag team hasn't broken up yet. Yes, we are the modern day Rock and Roll Express in that way. hopefully we'll be carting these bodies around into our twilight years and rolling out Way of the Blade number 63. We'll see how we go. I'm honestly so grateful that I get to have to you know be in touch to you know be on friendly terms to do cool creative stuff with a dude like Phil Schneider, who I've as mentioned before I've looked up to for a long time. You know, he's been so crucial in my wrestling loves and my passions to do with this whole professional wrestling deal. And chasing that passion in the job that I do now of being a professional artist and an illustrator. And getting to specialize in such an absurdly niche thing. I'm very grateful. Much love for Phil there. Again, everyone make sure you're following Phil's work on Yahoo Sports. Give Phil Schneider Yahoo Sports a little Google. And also, if you're in the Twitter place, be following Phil A. Schneider on there to keep up with all the stuff that he's got going on. And of course, the Way of the Blade podcast Instagram channel. And I will be making sure I'll be keeping you all updated on the current things with that. So again, Way of the Blade, let me just check the status of this thing here in Australia. Let's just see, because I know the pre-orders are up in America, so if you all reside in America, please, know you can be doing all of the Way of the Blade pre-orders there. That AEW sequel, if you haven't got the original one, my gosh, make sure you get on that. I'm very proud of that. It's weird looking back now. You know, there's some things where you look back and you sort of might feel different ways about it, because it's so, I guess, so, what's the word? Like, you I guess your work changes over time, but you know, I think it's a amazing you know, thing to just look back on and recognize what a massive thing in my life that project was, and something that when I flip through that book, I'm still very, very proud. Yeah, I adore Phil's delightful words that he's put together in there with little old me's pictures. So good. But I believe I'm on the page now, the Way of the Blade on the Amazon page. So it looks like pre-orders are up worldwide. Oh my gosh. So if, wait, so that's the Kindle version. I don't know about the actual main version. Okay, so there's a chance that we might have to wait a little bit longer for the you know, physical copy of the book pre-orders. I believe. I'll keep an eye on this thing. Anyway, I'll keep you posted. I also really do want to thank everyone here for listening to this show. Hope you got a kick out of this episode. Hope you got a kick out of me nerding out with Phil. Make sure you check out Segunda Caída, as well as Death Valley Driver review. That website and forum is still up, and there's so much good stuff on there. Shout out to Phil and Dean and all of the amazing dudes that put together those Death Valley Driver reviews. They still hold up, and they still have the power to get you into some incredible wrestling rabbit holes. So highly recommend that. You can also check out my stuff at christhings.com.au. As mentioned in my lovely little plug in the interview there, that's a place where you can get prints of all this stuff, fancy art prints on a premium textured stock paper, high quality museum grade prints. I really dig getting to make this stuff and then physically put it out into the world. As a fan of physical media, that means a lot to me. So yeah, I try to make sure it's as high quality as it can be. I send them all out myself. A lot of the time I'll include a little surprise bonus for you as a thank you for your orders. So yeah, if you'd like to jump on there, you can see all of the stuff. You can get art prints of these matches of the week, of some of my different original art that I've created, different paintings. A lot of wrestling art. So if wrestling art is your cup of tea, I'd say that's probably a good place to go. At least if you'd like to support little old me. And please know that if you do, in any sense, from the smallest to the biggest, more crazy, generous ones, I appreciate all of you. Really means a lot to me. The coolness of getting financial reward for my silly little pictures is never lost on me. So thank you so much, guys. Really means a lot. But I'd like to say a big thank you as well to the great team at Social Suplex for letting me do this bloody little old podcast. I really do enjoy doing it. Rambling into this microphone keeps me kind of sane, living up here in the hills of the Sunshine Coast here in Australia. But socialsuplex.com, the home to this podcast, variety of other rad wrestling podcasts, from One Nation Radio to Keeping It Strong Style, the New Japan podcast with young boy Josh Smith, friend of the show there, but also a range of other podcast from the AEW Match Recommendation podcast, All Things Elite, Imps WWE Adventure, the Trish and Sarah podcast, Tunnel Talk, all of the things. So thank you, Social Suplex. As mentioned earlier, I am so busy, so I'm gonna get to the things. I'm gonna prepare for this great artist market, and I will see you next week. Enjoy!
First, there was Tuesday. Then, there was Taco Tuesday. Now at Wendy's, there's Takis Tuesday. Get a new Takis Fuego meal, a.k.a. Takis Fuego Chicken Sandwich, Fuego Fries inspired by Takis, a bag of Takis Fuego Chips, a small drink, and also a small Frosty Classic. Yes, you can get that any day, but on Takis Tuesday, the Frosty is free. Make every Tuesday a Takis Tuesday. Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's includes 1 ounce Takis Fuego Chips while supplies last. Takis and Fuego trademarks are used under license.